One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to Red Men Radio. We are bang into the summer. Chris Pajak has left us. He's gone away on holiday for a couple of weeks to recharge the old battery. So I am joined by Tom Dutton. Hi Tom.
The B team.
The B...
Well, I'm the B side, B thing.
No, you're first sub.
I'll take that.
You're the 13th man. You were the Emre Can of last season, not next season, because the minute he is clubless, which is absolutely hilarious. We've got a kickoff question that comes from Jareel at JKalai on Twitter. Now I'm gonna read it to you verbatim, and then I'm gonna put a slight spin on this. The question was: five aside of your most hated Liverpool players, past and present. I don't like the word hate.
No, I don't. I don't think I hate many people, let alone people I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I read a great quote somewhere. I can't remember where it's from, but you know, you shouldn't waste energy hating people you don't know. So we'll modify this still on the lines of players that you didn't really get on with at Liverpool. There's one or two hate. It's close to hate as I think we can get in this regard. I've got two massive bell ends in there, and then the rest of them are largely footballing reasons. Talk me through your team, Tom. Who have you got?
So, in goal, I've got El Hadji Diouf.
Right, okay.
And I know what you're thinking. Why is it not a goalkeeper? I want people to hit the ball as hard as they can at every area of his body, mainly his face, because he deserves it.
Okay.
And then I've got Jimmy Traore at the back, just because, look, he meant well. He was never good enough. Mm-hmm. He nearly lost us Istanbul. I put it all down to him. Them three goals are all his fault.
Okay.
And the three goals we scored are definitely not his fault. Then Raheem Sterling, because he's still...
I think he's a good modern choice for Liverpool players that people have absolutely turned on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's not in mind, but I can understand
I think Sterling. just every time he comes, we boo him and it gets under his skin, and that's
a good point. Yeah, that's a good point.
Michael Owen, obvious reasons. And then I struggled with this last one, but I've gone for Harry Kewell, because, again, he just didn't live up to what we needed him to do in Istanbul.
Yeah, it is tricky to pad this out, and I'm sure there's probably people on Twitter who genuinely do hate Liverpool players. And you're right, there's not many players I hate who are players at the time, because I can't. I always give them support largely, and even when it tends to be when they leave.
Yeah.
That helped me a little bit, because I had Paul Ince originally, because I liked Paul Ince when we signed him. But it's funny, I meant to mention, I did a video on the Loris Karius stuff on my YouTube channel, and there was a bit where I was just free-flowing, free-forming it. There was a bit where I said, I've got this one example of it where Liverpool players turned on, Liverpool fans turned on someone for leaving the pitch when they were injured, or blah, blah, blah. And then I then digressed into talking about Mo Salah and didn't give me example, so I had to cut that bit out of the video. But Paul Ince, we were playing Man United in the FA Cup. I think we might have been in the lead at the time, and he went off injured by all accounts, and we capitulated, and he took a lot of blame for that. But no, I didn't go with Ince. I went for Charles Atanji in goal. Obviously, for serious reasons, he was caught laughing during the Hillsborough Memorial, which is fucking stupid. What an idiot. And he basically got booted from the club off the back of that. I went for Neil Ruddock and Julian Dix. Like, I hate Neil Ruddock as strong, because he's done a few bits and pieces with Chris around Ball Street stuff, and by all accounts he's quite a funny fella or whatever, but as a Liverpool player, him and Julian Dix both just fat bastards, and I can talk by the way, just fat arseholes who signed for Liverpool, took the money and didn't put the effort in. There's a story about it, I think it was Stan Collymore told, about how Ruddock was meant to be in rehab, and he's on the treadmill, and when the fitness coach leaves, he turns around to Collymore and says, basically keep Dixie, watch the door for me, and sits down and starts eating a packaged butty. And then when he goes, nice. Oh, the coach is coming back, he tips a bottle of water on his face and on his shirt and gets back on the treadmill. And you're like, and that's why people blame Jamie Redknapp for being too pretty.
Yeah.
And they blame, you know, the Spice Boys and the cream suits. It was people like Ruddock and Dix who were the epitome of why Liverpool were terrible in the 90s. Michael Owen, because of, yeah, because Judas.
Yeah.
And Al Hajidoof, because, yeah, of the players that Liverpool have had, he is one of them. I don't hate him. I don't have that kind of energy. Yeah.
I think he's the one. He is the one outlier where you're like, he was just a scumbag. Mm. You were like, even not even at Liverpool. He's hated around the world because of the way he was. It's not like he caused it for himself.
Massive twat. Yeah. I think a twat, and he made it. Outside shout, I actually had to throw in notes at Danny, not for a hatred thing, just because he was really, really disliked for a lot of his Liverpool career. Fernando Torres is another one. I think he's rehabilitated himself. He's come back around, but for similar reasons to the Michael Owen stuff, you could maybe put a Steve McManaman in there. Emre Can might have that in the fullness of time.
I think Torres, with the interview that came out where he was, basically, it kind of softened the blow for a lot of people, including myself, and you're listening to him talk, and now he's back at Atleti, and he's finally won a trophy with them, and I'm kind of over Torres, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's run down what we're going to be talking about this week on the podcast. We've got news and brief coming up in a moment. We're going to be talking about Jared and Shaqiri being strongly linked to the Mighty Reds. We're going to be giving you a little insight into a new podcast we've been doing on the website. And then we're going to be taking a load of your questions. We've got some really good ones this week that we can dive into. So yeah, really looking forward to that. But news in brief, first and foremost, Tom, we covered this on the Transfer Latest podcast. Done plenty of YouTube videos and what have you. Fekir is by all accounts off.
Yeah.
But then Dave Maddock comes out last night and says, maybe it's not off. I think right here and right now, it probably serves the best purpose of this is just to presume it's off and stop thinking about it.
I think, look, if it's off until after the World Cup, so why are we worried? Let's just maybe enjoy watching him play for France and be like, okay, if we could have got him, but if he has a worldie of a game, everyone's like, oh.
Yeah.
But even that will pique our interest again as a club. We'll go, okay, he's playing well, yeah, maybe we'll up the offer and because obviously it was after the medical where he had like cartilage something in his knee where it was osteo, it was some like mad
thank
thing.
You Dr. Dutton for yeah, that yeah. massive insight into
why do you
medical?
Think I'm not in medical school and I'm sat here Paul but I mean by all accounts look if we go back in for him after the World Cup and he wants to come to us, we wanted him. If Leon just want to kind of take less money.
We'll just take him. Mario Goetz has talked about it, of course, failed bid to sign him and said how much he loves and respects Jurgen Klopp. And it's kind of been reported that he's open to a move. I'll be honest, I can't see him. I think he's had his time, he's had his chance. You know, we ended up getting Sadio Mane instead of him. And there's a great example around the Fekir stuff that we need to just have a little bit of a breath.
Yeah.
Is that so many people were raging when we basically went with Mane over Goetze. Klopp did his whole thing about like, people want to push the train to get it going and people want to jump on it while it's already moving. And it was a bit of a veiled thing at Goetze. We got Mane and he wanted to help push the train and look at him, scored a goal in the Champions League final.
And he was brilliant. I mean, I had a quick look because it was about Goetze and his like, injury problems. He had some medical issue, didn't he? He missed 13 games last season. It was probably a good thing we never got him, maybe. Yeah. With the intensive brand of football we play, like we've spoken about. He's a great player. He's fantastic. If we brought him in, he'd be a great addition.
Yeah.
But
who even talks about Mario Goetze anymore? People don't even talk about Royce anymore. And I know he's another one with injury problems, isn't he? It's I have a strong suspicion that if you do more than like 3 or 4 years under Jurgen Klopp, you don't really get that level of intensity out of the rest of your career.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think given that we already have Adam Lallana. And people might go, whoa, what do you mean comparing them? Because people might think Goetze is a million times better than Lallana. That's beside the point. What I mean is we've got a lad in the squad who plays in that rough position who we're probably only going to get 25 games out of this season at that level of intensity if we're lucky. I don't think you want to be bringing in more lads along the same line because it's all you can go. And I think this informs the Fekir stuff as well. We mentioned this on the podcast. you've got Oxlade-Chamberlain out for a few months still. Yeah. You've got Lallana, who you don't know how he's going to come back, and then Fekir, who there's maybe concerns that you can't trust him to last the full season. And you go, well, that's three for one. You should be able to get a full season, but that's not how it works. No. That's like saying you get a 25% payoff on a fruity and thinking that if you put £4 in, you're going to win off one of your £4. It's like over the lifetime of it, you can't choose when those players are going to be injured, and it's just as likely as that they'll all be injured at the same time as they will hand the baton of our number eight role over as one of them collapses onto the treatment table.
It was one of them where I had a quick look at like his quotes and that, and he's saying, oh yeah, no, we have a great relationship with Jurgen Klopp and blah blah blah. Of course, everyone loves Jurgen Klopp.
Yeah,
you'd want to play for him again because he's a world class manager. So I don't put too much credence into it. Maybe.
Absolutely. Another one, not maybe to take with a grain of salt. Brazilian website Terra claims we've bid $57 million for Alisson. I can't help but feel, Tom, that this would be better reported if this was the truth.
Yeah, and look, we did a big thing, a debate on the YouTube the other day, and I got slated massively for saying that I'm happy with Karius being number one. Uh-huh. I still am, but if you bring in Alisson as better than Karius, Sam, bring him in, and I think that's the big thing. It is all about money with the goalkeepers, and if 57 million is the price that he's gone for, then get him in. But I really, really doubt that it's 57.
That seems, it's been reported as a lot higher than that before. Similarly with Oblak, such that I've seen £57 million and thinking, go ahead.
Yeah.
I'd take him at 57. £57 million for a goalkeeper is ludicrous.
Is that the world record? Is that the... €52 million for Buffon.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. That would be... If that's the case, then that would be, wouldn't it? Because so, £57 million is more than €52 million.
Yeah, I did a lot of research for an article that then got completely scrapped because of the goings-on on the weekend, which was great.
I wouldn't say this was definitely going to happen or whatever, but it's interesting that it keeps being talked about. I mentioned this myself. Look, again, I'm with you. If I'm honest, I won't write Loris Karius' Liverpool career off based on the concussion stuff. Changed my perception a lot on that, if I'm honest. But such is my I'm not. There's no one in that Liverpool team that I am so in love with, and that includes Mo Salah, by the way, and Roberto Firmino et al. That if Jurgen Klopp went out and spent £60 million on a replacement for that player, I wouldn't be like, ooh.
The only one is Van Dijk.
Yeah,
that's the only one. But I agree. There's always better players out there. We're still not at the top. We're still not Real Madrid. We're still not Barcelona. We're still not these. I mean, we're getting there. Mm. We're on the right track by far. But our model's never been that, and I like our model better. Yeah. We're like Spurs, but we've gone faster
but we
than
pay wages.
Yeah. And we've taken over them. It wasn't long ago we were looking at Spurs, going, that's the model we want to do, and we did it, and we've done it better by all accounts.
Yeah, just to preempt any picky Spurs fans, we haven't obviously overtaken them domestically in the league, but I think.
Well, Europe's a bigger competition, isn't it? So
yeah, we'll see. We'll see. You know, I have to mention this, and maybe in doing this, it's counterintuitive to my point. But that tweet from Flav's podcast, which is called The Fighting Cock, and it's loved the shit, and they did this thing about Liverpool fans being a myth or something. Liverpool being a myth because Spurs had finished above them five seasons out of seven or something. I'm going to talk about Spurs. And in doing so, it puts a bit of a kibosh on my argument, but I find it really weird that the Spurs account's talking about that. About, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
maybe it's because I don't think of Spurs as being... Because like you say, I immediately thought, yeah, you're right, we are above Spurs. We didn't finish above Spurs, but I never... It's weird that even though there's now a track record of consistent league finishes, of them finishing above us largely... I still don't think of Spurs as being bigger or better.
Well, what have they done? Yeah, they finished above us. That's like them celebrating the fact that they finished above Arsenal and lording it over them, and Arsenal are like, well, we won the cup.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know we didn't win anything either, but we had a much more enjoyable season, I think. Mm. Look, they've got a great team, a really good manager. They're good, they're just not...
I like Spurs. Yeah, I quite like Spurs, but they don't... I don't get... There seems to be a movement of late for fans of other clubs to sort of engineer some sort of rivalry with Liverpool.
Yeah.
I don't have any emotion towards Spurs. Like I, Man United, say Man United, and it make, and like I can feel myself getting up, and I can think about all the things I dislike about Man United. You know, similarly, Everton to some extent, obviously kind of lessened in recent years, but still Everton's Everton.
Yeah.
Arsenal to some extent, I'm old enough to remember them pipping us to the title in 89. Yeah. Just about, like, and that was one of my earliest football memories, which doesn't stand it in great stead. But you know, I mean, Arsenal and Chelsea more modern rivalry, but there's a bit of antipathy there.
The biggest one,
but I like City. I quite like City, and I quite like Spurs. Yeah. Like as football teams, I think they've got decent kits, they've got good players, they play decent brands of football, and yet their fans seem to have this like. Be taking pots of lip. It's weird. I just think it's really weird.
It is. I mean, the biggest ones of late have been in European football. So you're looking at Chelsea, and like I massively dislike Chelsea as a club. The fan base is sound, but as a club,
apart from the pushing people off trains in Paris,
of course. But like that's a small minority, obviously.
Of course.
But like the club itself, I just despise. I don't know if that's a rivalry or just me really hating them. And that's what I enjoy about City now. We're the two best football teams in terms of playing style in the league, and we're going to go for it next season. And every time we play them, it's always a spectacle. Yeah. And I think that's the whole point of, that's what rivalries come from.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't count Spurs.
But that's the thing. But yeah, you're right. And I don't look forward to games against Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. When we put the fixture, you note it because it's one of the top six teams or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't go, ooh, that Spurs game.
Yeah.
It was City are doing that, and that's why I think the rivalry, the City thing's weird. I enjoy the rivalry with Man City because again, it's a real proper test.
Yeah.
And it's a test of good football versus good football. Whereas I hate them games against Man United because particularly under Mourinho, it's football versus anti-football to some extent. So I don't relish them. I go nervous into them games. Whereas I love the Liverpool City game. So yeah, all very odd, and I'm sure we'll see plenty of it from fans over the
summer. But it just means that we're doing something right.
Yeah.
And you've said it before many a time, is we're now in these people's consciousness. When they're talking about big teams, Liverpool are back up there as a threat, and that's why they want to engineer this. They want to like create something to get themselves up for these games. They must do, and I love it. I love seeing fans give us stick and then going, "Oh, you haven't signed for Kier, ha ha ha." Because if we did, you should be in the shit.
Yeah,
we'd be looking so strong next season.
I love the notion. It's slightly damaged by there's a bunch of teenagers losing the shit from the Liverpool fan base on Twitter about signings and that. But yeah. I like the fact that the vast majority of people in Liverpool. I love the response that I've seen on Twitter from Reds about saying like, wind it in. I put a few tweets out and I was worried because sometimes when you stick your head above the parapet on things that seem to be quite populist opinion on social media, you just get lambasted for it.
Yeah.
And what was great was how many people went, yeah, no, like kind of spot on, transfers aren't the be all and end all. Everything's going really well at the football club. Let's enjoy it. And I was like, oh, great people. That good. Yeah. I'm glad. And that's it. The core of the fan base, and particularly within the city, and it's emanating outwards, is one of like supreme happiness and confidence. So yeah, long may that continue.
Definitely.
Shaqiri, we're going to talk about him in a bit more depth in a moment. Looks like Liverpool are going to step up their efforts to sign him. One piece of news which has gone mega viral is our very own Ben Kelly, Tom. Yeah. He put a tweet out bemoaning how poor he is and saying that he couldn't afford to get Alexander-Arnold on the back of an England shirt. Was it a Liverpool shirt? Anyway, a shirt.
England shirt, yeah.
Yeah, and Trent said, DM me details and I'll sort you the shirt.
It's weird. He's been having loads of interviews. I don't know what you interview him about because you go, oh, he sent a tweet and then what? That's the story. So I don't get it. I mean, it's boss. I love it. Like,
how are you feeling? Really good.
Yeah,
I've got that was a free... my Ben impression, by the way. Sorry, Ben.
I've got a free thing and it's boss and I'm made up for them. I made up for him. He's got a shirt with the best England player on.
Yeah.
And sound, but like I just don't. I don't get it. I'll be honest. I don't get it.
Brilliant. I mean, yeah. Fair play to. I mean, brilliant gesture from Trent.
Yeah.
Brilliant for Ben. You know, obviously we don't pay him to come in here, so obviously it's costing him money to make content for us. So therefore, it's our fault, really.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have been the ones buying him his England shirt, but.
Trent's made it though.
Subscribe to the redmentv.com. but fair play to him. Yeah, he's gone all over the place. Nice positive story.
I like seeing his picture on newspapers, just in with the scarf, and you're like, go ahead.
Fantastic. So let's move on then. Let's talk about Jadon Shaqiri. We had a question from Shaqiri version. What? Version? Shaqiri version.
So is he a Stoke fan? Or is he just a Shaqiri fan?
Maybe. I mean, to be fair, people are very quick to change their Twitter handles, and there was loads of like Fakir ones knocking around, yeah. Wasn't at the back end of last week, and they'll be gutted. Probably this is probably what one of these was. It's like, ah, shit. Shouldn't it be like Super Shaqiri or?
Yeah, something like, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you know, anyway, he says, would Shaqiri be a good signing?
It all depends on the price for me. Mm-hmm. I think he will be fantastic as a replacement. I mean, he only plays on the right, which is right and centre, which is a thing, so he'd be taken over from Salah.
Well, we say that, but he's left-footed, isn't he? Whilst I agree, I think he predominantly play there. He can play both wings.
I just feel like he loves to cut inside and take a shot Robin, and he's really good with the overlap and stuff. He's got a nice little bit of skill and he's got pace to burn. I think he'd be great, but I don't think we should be paying more than 20 mil for him.
Yeah, no, I agree with that.
Just because he's going to be a squad player. So
I think that's it. And to be fair though, I mean, £20 million, I think that if we're talking about £20 million squad players, I think we're talking about a Liverpool that's going in the right direction.
Yeah.
You know, the days of us, and £20 million isn't what it, you know, isn't what it was anymore. That's still actually probably a bargain for a full international and a lad who's got the experience that he's got as well. To some extent, there was talk of it being a £12 million release. Then we heard rumours that it wasn't as low as we felt, and that was why Liverpool were having to think a little bit more about it. You know, I've got it here. It's likely to be 15 to 20. Even like, to be fair, even if it's 25, this is my point is, and I said this when we signed Adam Lallana, I didn't think Adam Lallana, when we bought him, was of the level to be a nailed-on first-team Liverpool player. He then completely disproved me under the early days under Jurgen Klopp, and then I think injury issues, we might have seen the best we'll ever see of Lallana over a consistent spell of games, of course. But what he will become is a 20 to 25 million pound squad player. Yeah. And that's what you need. You know, you need to have lads who are there and there about around that value. You have your absolute superstars, but your third and fourth choice guys coming into the sides, that's what the top teams have got. That's what Chelsea have had for years. That's what Man City are starting to generate. And the big issue we have, I think, with the Shaqiri thing is, our front three is perfect.
It's spot on, isn't it? Yeah.
You're not getting more, you're not likely to get more goals out of that front three.
Yeah.
So, and in terms of going out and buying someone, so if you want to replace Mo Salah, you're looking at, because I don't think he's ever going to get 40 odd goals again. I think that was and if he does, bonza. But, you don't want to rely on that. So you're talking, let's say, 25. You need to bring someone into that side who can play left, centre, or right, who can score 20 to 25 goals in all comps. And that's going to cost you loads and loads and loads. You're talking about the best players in the world. So you need to go either two ways on that. You go out and buy someone. So you have to go out and buy Gareth Bale for like £80 million, if you want to do that. Or you go and buy some kid who's 18, 19, who's going to cost you 10 to 15 million, and it's a pure gamble whether they ever make it up to that level. Or the alternate is you pick up someone like Jadon Shaqiri, 8 goals and 7 assists last season, which is best goal and assist return since 12-13 with Bayern Munich. Still only 26. I think... I would still prefer us to go and get like Ryan Sessegnon.
Yeah.
But like I say, it's still a gamble. You know what I mean?
That's it. He's proven. I mean, I think you get more goals and assists in our team just because of the style of play that we have and the fact that we're very much on the front foot. When you watch Stoke, they usually kind of sit back or they don't really put too many men in attack, whereas we put like 5 men in attack at a time. So that will benefit him. I do like his style of play. I think it's selfish, but in a good way. Usually when I've watched them, when we've been to Stoke a few times, he's always the shining light out of the team. I mean, he doesn't really do much, but that's because we're we have the ball all the time. Yeah. I'd really like to see him in our team, seeing what Jurgen Klopp can do with him. And I think you're right. You need to have these kind of squad players. We don't have anyone else who can play on the wings at the moment. Yeah. If Mo Salah gets injured, what do you do?
Yeah.
And we need someone with a bit of pace, bit of skill, who can just add to that and bring Salah off 60 minutes when we're 4-0 up.
Exactly. What you want, what you don't want. Because the fact that we ended up using Danny Ings periodically on the wings, and we pushed Bobby Firmino out wide, this season just gone should be the last season we ever see Bobby Firmino used at all, anywhere other than his best position.
Yeah.
And that is either as a number nine or as maybe as a 10, as we saw him in that game at the end of the season where we put Solanke up top. I don't want to see him on either flank because he hasn't got the pace. We should never see Adam Lallana on the flank ever again. We've seen this in the last two seasons where we've constructed a side, but the best version of that side it was reliant upon two or three players staying fit and being available. It was Mane and Coutinho the season before. It would have been Coutinho, but it became Mane, Firmino, Salah this time around. You need to make sure that you've got cover for those, somebody who can cover for at least one of the two wide positions. And I agree with that. And I think what Liverpool need to have is a situation where we're going to be in the Champions League and the odds of us getting another relatively easy group draw, probably not. We're probably going to get a really good side in it this year.
Yeah.
So you've got Real Madrid or Barcelona or Juventus or whatever, or Dortmund or whatever in your group.
Sounds so good.
Yeah, I know. You're playing them on a Tuesday or a Wednesday,
yeah,
and then you take on Burnley or whomever at the weekend.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Shaqiri starts in that game at the weekend,
and he's
better than those
exactly
than those players.
It lets you keep the formation. It lets you keep your style of play. It doesn't mean we've got to play two up top this time, or we've got to shift the midfield round.
Yeah.
None of that, because you can just throw in a ready-made player there. And there are better players out there, of course there are. And there's rumours of Gelson Martins wanting to leave Sporting, and there was a young lad. What was it? Some lad with two first names or something.
Moses
Simon.
Yeah.
He looks good as well. But look, if you want someone who can do it in the Premier League, maybe not to the highest level, looking to step up, he wants to do better, get him. As long as it's not 25 mil, but it's not my money, as everyone always says. But
this is the thing, this is the context of this for me, is that at the minute we're looking at puzzle pieces when we've got no idea what the finished picture looks like. We're mentally building this puzzle without the box here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And without access to the pieces, and every now and then, and moreover, with pieces that may or may not be part of the puzzle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we're going, is this part of it? I've got no idea. Does this fit in? I don't think this fits in. Because we've done this in the past, remember like the Gini Wijnaldum signing and being like, what the hell have we bought him in for? Is he going to play left wing? And then he's become our box-to-box midfielder. you know, it's always a note of caution when we're trying to do this fantasy transfer window style stuff, yeah. Is that, you know, who knows quite how this is going to fit in. He seems to make sense in that. You can see quite clearly that he would be a perfect understudy for both, let's say both flanks for the sake of argument, but definitely the right wing. And you look at it and look at the money and you think 15 to 25 million pounds, well, that 15 is acceptable, 25 is maybe too much. But then again, we just don't know how the full business is gonna pan out, because ultimately, you know, I think in our heads, and I'm seeing a lot of this already with the Fekir stuff, like people saying, well, we're not getting Fekir, we'll go and spend the money on a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing, we're either going to spend money on a goalkeeper or we're not.
Yeah.
I think the Fekir thing is completely irrelevant to that,
definitely.
If I'm perfectly honest. I think there's money earmarked for the Coutinho replacement, in inverted commas. And if we're going to get a goalkeeper, there's a pot of money for the goalkeeper that's already been decided.
We were already going to get them, I agree. I think, look, we're not stupid. We know the areas that need strengthening in this side, and we've already fixed that sort of with the midfield. We saw just how threadbare it was at the end of last season.
Yeah.
You're watching us put Trent in there, and look, Trent did okay, but he played right back. He's a right back at the moment for Liverpool, and we've sorted that out. I have no qualms with us taking a bit more time. Maybe Shaqiri won't even get done till after the World Cup, and
I think that's what. Yeah,
and that's fine as well. I think. Look, we've just got to be a bit patient and just trust in the club. Yeah. And I know it's hard to do that because you want stuff getting done and you want to see the picture like you talked about then. You want to know what's going to happen. But even if we bring in players, we can throw out formations. Klopp might want to just go back to the 4-2-3-1.
Yeah.
You'll come back next season and go, wait, what? And it'll just work because it's Klopp and he knows what he's doing. And bring in the players, let Klopp work with them, and he will just produce something unreal, and I can't wait.
We're all looking, people are looking at the players we've brought in. I think this two points here, I think it's worth remembering that we've signed two players.
Yeah.
We've bought Naby Keita and we've bought Fabinho.
Yeah.
So we're already a much better side off the back of that, you know, albeit Emre Can's gone out the door and so's John Flanagan, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it's not outside the realms of possibility that Fabinho's been bought as a right back. Now they're probably not.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But
no, yeah.
But I look at this and I look at our right back options, and we now no longer have anyone else who's close to Trent. I think in that right back position, no one who's comfortable on the ball. Gomez is comfortable on the ball, but he's not got the range of passing.
Yeah.
He's not got the attacking intent. Same with Nathaniel Clyne as well. As much as I love him, And then all of a sudden you see the fact that Fabinho, you know, he's been doing it midfield, but he started as a right back.
Yeah.
And you see that what Milner was as a left back, he was a creative fulcrum from the left-hand side. We switched that to be Trent toward the back end of the season. Get the ball to him, let him distribute the ball. You know, he became a very integral part of how we play. You know, everyone's already writing Jordan Henderson out of the team. Everyone's already writing all these other players out. We just don't know. There's a common logic. There's a prevailing logic. But again, we have been wrong so many times before. It's exciting. It makes me want to fuck the World Cup off.
Yeah, no, genuinely.
To get to pre-season.
Even if it's just Fabinho is that right-hand side of the midfield, let Trent bomb on, and then you just stick Fabinho on when they break.
Mm-hmm.
Stick Fabinho there, and we know he can do it. It means the ball over the top, he's so tall, no one's ever going to beat him at the back stick, which is what Gomez struggled with quite a few times last season. It's just strengthening his team, and it's relegating you. Your Jordan Henderson's, your Adam Lallana's, your Oxlade-Chamberlain's to your squad players, and they got us to the Champions League final.
Yeah.
That's boss.
Yeah.
That's what the whole model should be about, and it's sound.
And equally, as I say, there's a lot of football to be played, and I think there's a notion that people are going like, well, that's the end of him, and this should be done, blah, 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 blah. We're going to rotate.
Yeah.
We play a lot of games. Whereas last season we rotated and we rotated in, you know, we're doing a show later today called Keep Sell Loan, which we do every year, but we're now called Keep Sell Loan Promote, where we're going to look at every Liverpool player that's in the squad, and we're going to assign them to a group and work out where we think Liverpool need to get rid of players and bolster and strengthen, what have you. Liverpool used, I think, in match day squads, 33 different players last season.
Wow.
Now, some of them were unused subs. So Curtis Jones made the subs bench once, never used, but he counts amongst that because he still was a body that needed to be filled. We're going to have a similar situation next season, except that what you want is a few more of those lads to just be able to contribute a little bit more, or the ones that got on the the ones that got on the pitch that weren't quite good enough. So let's say, I'm not saying we don't keep Danny Ings and Solanke, by the way, but either Solanke will be better for being a year older, or we will be bringing in Jadon Shaqiri and we'll be keeping Firmino.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, in that side centre forward instead. That kind of stuff. That's what Liverpool are going to be looking to do. We will strengthen the fit. It's not that we're strengthening the first 11. We are strengthening the pool of players that can play in the first 11 on every single match day.
And if you look towards the end of the campaign last season, we were in dire straits. You're looking at this team and you knew what the first team was going to be. Yeah. The opposition knew what the first team was going to be. And it just bringing in that next player. I'm sure if we get Jadon Shaqiri in, he's not going to be the last one, the attacking player. I'm sure we'll get a young kid, young understudy as well. Maybe even, let's say, Goethe-ish, you know what I mean? Probably Fekir. If we're going to bring in more players. Yeah. It's not just going to be, oh, it's Shaqiri, oh, now we're never going to spend any more money. Oh, it's, you know what I mean? And that's the best thing for me. We've got this money. We know how to spend it, and we will spend it.
That's it. The indications point towards Keita's done, Fabinho's done. There's a Fekir-shaped hole in our transfer business that needs to be filled. Shaqiri to bolster the front line. I would say that's almost definite. So that's four, certainly.
Yeah.
There's so many strong rumours around the centre-half, whether it's Lascelles or Tarkowski. And then there's a case to be made around maybe a goalkeeper.
Yeah, I think
it's more than a maybe, but yeah, you know, so mainly because Mignolet's going to move on, so that's probably a Butland. So you probably at the very minimum you're just bringing in another goalkeeper. So there's still definite piece of business to be done, but the alternatives here, and in years gone by you'd fear this a little bit more, but I don't anymore because of this manager and the setup that we've got. If we don't buy another centre half, people's heads will fall off. But you know what will probably happen? Joe Gomez will play.
Yeah.
And all we've been doing is crying for Joe Gomez to get a go at centre half. The Dortmund side the Klopp constructed was built around kids as centre halves. It wouldn't shock me to see him just go, right, Joe Gomez, boom, there you go, mate. This is you. Or, you know, he's beefed up the pecking order. There's largely, if we don't buy another strike, if we don't buy another forward, don't be shocked if he still has to sign a proper professional deal, but don't be shocked if Brewster gets his game and people all of a sudden going, what? Brewster, there'll be options and there'll always be other ways to figure things. And as you say, I think there's more transfer business to be done. It just might take a couple of weeks. That being said, when things do happen, we are here. We have got you guys covered. We've just recorded the transfer latest podcast. Obviously, we've a lot of chat about Fekir. We did that. We talked through the ins and outs of the story. Here's a little clip just to give you a bit of a flavour of what's been going on
with it. And then everyone's going, yeah, but you played this many games last season. But if you had done an ACL, it's a long-term thing, isn't it? So it breaks down, doesn't it, over a long period of time. So why would you go and sign someone over a five-year period who in 2-3 years' time, it might be fine for one season, two seasons, but don't spend £50 million pounds. Someone is going to be...
Here's the thing on this. I'll talk about the human perspective in a minute, because I do... There's part of me... I have genuinely no feelings towards Nabil Fekir at all, and I can't raise myself to, you know, because he's not a Liverpool player ultimately. Yeah. I can put myself in his shoes and see the sad side of that. But yeah, I think there's an interesting point that Liverpool are finally sanctioning big money deals. But let's not forget who Liverpool's owners are. They will sanction big money deals if they feel there's still a value to them. We're signing a lad at 24 years old. We're signing lads in their absolute prime in the knowledge that we're going to get their prime years out of them. And then maybe you look to shift them on a little bit later. Let's use Fernando Torres. I think we're going to look to move back to the Fernando Torres mould of you get someone in like 23, 24, you get 3-4 amazing seasons out of them, and then you sell them when you've literally run them into the ground, and you still sell them for big money. Now, if you've got a lad, and I'm speculating because I don't know, I'm no medical expert, I don't know about ACLs and really, other than I know that it's the most serious injury you can have and come back from, pretty much, you know. if they feel like that's going to wear down to the point where he's going to be finished, in like there's going to be nothing left to sell on, then I understand why we would be reticent to complete a deal.
It's also because if you look at the players that he was coming in to replace, Adam Lallana, Oxlade-Chamberlain, pretty much, that attacking mid, going to be attacking from there, they're both fucked.
Yeah.
And they might be fucked in the long term. So why get a third one in who might be, get a third one in who's going to be playing more games than them?
So, yeah, we've got the Reds transfer roundup show, which is recording on Wednesday with Steve. We've got Bundesliga journalist Chris Williams, good mate of the show, coming in for that one as well. The transfer latest podcast, we're going to be looking through them every sort of Monday morning, just wrapping up whatever's been going on over the weekend. And in addition to that, whenever anything happens, anything breaks, we will be here. We'll be in the studio. We'll be picking the bones of it. There's loads of amazing stuff. I'm going to be chatting to Melissa Reddy later this week as well. That's going on the website. So if you want all this stuff and you want more of this stuff, by all means, please do go to theredmentv.com and sign up. It's just genuinely brilliant stuff. We're smashing it at the moment. And we're really ramping it up. We had a couple of little weeks where I went and swanned around in a caravan park for a bit and in Berlin, and now I'm back. And it's all ready to kick off again for an amazing summer. So yeah, I've just nearly poked myself in the eye. Great start. Questions, Tom. First one comes via at JerseyPawn90. Now, he said, going off your gifts, I'll put a Dragon Ball Z picture out with the tweet for this. So just to give a bit of context. I mean, I could have just not read that bit, but I've done it. And here we go. If you could live in any fictional / cartoon world, which one would it be?
I mean, the first one that jumped out to me is South Park.
Okay.
I reckon that would just be the best place to live. Genuine, because I asked this question before when I first saw it. Are you the protagonist or do you just see carnage happen around you? I feel like either one in the South Park universe, after playing all the games, watching loads of the actual cartoon itself, mm-hmm. I would just love to be there when like the whole town goes mental and you're all in the town hall, you know what I mean? Yeah. I reckon it'd just be hilarious. Yeah, exactly. And I'd love to know which like group I'd be in if you gives you suggestions. Wait, not too mean, please.
Yeah, comments, please.
Probably in Skeeter's bar, just sat there. But no, I would love to be there. Failing that, I'd love to be the protagonist in Fairly Odd Parents. I would just love to have two people who can just grant me wishes and then it all goes wrong and I fight a like a mechanical reptile.
That's very much a reference that's before, after my time, I feel.
You know, Fairly Odd Parents.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It's fantastic.
Cartoon Network.
Maybe. I don't know. Like I haven't watched it.
Does it look like a Jedi Tartakovsky style, like Dexter's Lab style?
Yeah. Okay, pretty cool. Much. It's boss.
Okay.
It's really good.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I can't go much further than the Dragon Ball universe. I would very much like to be a Super Saiyan. That's all I'm saying. I could live in a world where I was going. Listen, all you have to do is chill out, do a bit of working out, a bit of fighting, live in the woods, relax, swim, eat loads and loads of food, and then occasionally save the universe by beating up bad guys. I think that's a pretty relaxing life.
I've just realised the actual winner. It's Pokemon.
Okay.
Because I imagine having like six Pokemon you could fight people with.
Yeah.
If I had Charizard to fly around on and burn people to a crisp, I'd be the best. That'd be the best thing.
Fuck you, Paul. Do this edit. Stick the edit of your ass. Yeah, yeah. Charizard, I choose you. No!
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Yeah, cool. Let us know your suggestions for the fictional cartoon worlds you would like to be in the comments. Okay, Matsy, Jurassic Gear 3K says, do you feel a move away from Anfield is still something the owner should keep on the table? The new main stand not long been finished, but with other clubs building new larger stadiums with room to expand them, is it a real possibility? Thanks, guys. Love everything you do. Thanks, Matsy. I love everything that you do. Although, that being said, this is the only thing I know you do, which is sending this question, but I love that, and it's a good start. I'll be honest, Tom, I think one of the best things that these owners did was keep us at Anfield, and there's definitely some people who will disagree with that. And but I don't think there's anyone that I know certainly, and I don't want to speak for everyone, anyone who goes to Anfield regularly who wants Liverpool to be in any stadium other than Anfield. And I think the building of the main stand gave us such a great showing of what you could do.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think any of us realised just how impressive that was going to be until the day we all fit, you know, that Leicester game and we all stepped in and we're going there for LFC TV like a couple of days before. It was the first time I'd been under it and I was like, Jesus,
when you can see it from down the road.
You know, like, wow, you can see it from Old Swan. Like, you know, you can go down towards Kenny and you can see it on the horizon. You can see it from all over the city. I think the positive talks we've seen with regards to expanding the Annie Road end, mm-hmm. I think lead me to think, who cares? You know, I don't see any point in doing all that work, expending all that money. I would like Liverpool to have a 70,000, 80,000 capacity stadium, but equally, I want Liverpool to be sustainable. Mm-hmm. I don't see any. I don't want us to end up in a situation that Arsenal ended up in,
yeah.
where I don't think Liverpool are. I think the football landscape has changed, and I think so that to have to basically struggle for 10 years and whilst also guaranteeing top four, I'm not sure that's possible anymore.
No.
So I think we. I think the way we're doing it is the right way to do it.
And it's all about the history for me. I mean, every time you walk into Anfield, when you're greeted with the cop and it's just something special with all the flags, I don't know if you can recreate. Obviously, we would recreate it as a fan base. We would,
yeah.
But there's something about just walking in and just seeing it, and it's the mix of the old and the new. It looks amazing when it's full, and the fact that it's so close to the pitch. You look at like West Ham and Spurs and stuff now, and how much the fans just hate the fact that they've moved.
Yeah.
And I would really be. Really be not annoyed but like disappointed if we did move away from it, because there's so much that's gone on in that stadium, and I feel like we'd lose a lot of that.
Now it could be, now here's the thing, Anfield could end up a little bit like Trigger's broom from Only Fools and Horses, you know what I mean? Like, because if you replace all four stands, is it still Anfield? But
yeah.
You know, I think the point is what it is, and what we've seen, what we saw happen with West Ham was that the problem is that It where people get put when you move to a new stadium, yeah. There's a whole logistical set of issues that is very hard to manage, especially at Anfield, when not many people actually have season tickets in their own names. Spurs have got a similar issue, I was told, where what was their equivalent of their cop, they've sold a section of that as a corporate, basically a corporate section, so it's a nice. Super expensive section within that, so that they can sell the experience of being in the fucking best thing. I wouldn't trust, that is another thing,
yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily trust our owners not to have a portion of the cop that wasn't, you know,
yeah.
£100, £150 a ticket to get in there as well. I just think I think until someone tells me that Anfield has, you've done all you can do with Anfield,
yeah.
I think when we reach that point, if we reach that point, I think that's when the conversation should be had. But at the minute, the way I look at it, if they're saying that if planning permission's got in for the Annie Road, if you can get Anfield up to 60 odd,
mm-hmm.
with another expansion, see how that goes, and then maybe the conversation around rail seating's moved on a little
bit. That's what I was
going to
say. Yeah.
You turn the cop into our yellow wall
exactly.
style thing. And you know, you might even have to reduce capacity slightly for that, but I just think in terms of having 60,000 that you know you can sell out every week, that generates a ridiculous noise,
yeah.
and it's not damaging your ability to buy the players to put on the football on the
exactly.
pitch that makes the noise in the first place.
That's can you imagine an expanded Annie Road and then looking onto an all stud cop? That is the dream for
yeah.
me. I would just absolutely love that. Right now, you go to the top of the main stand and you see the cop, and it's tremendous. It's a very weird thing hearing the stadium from the top of the main stand. I really, really enjoy it, because you think of the cop being all-encompassing, and then you're like so much higher than it, and you're looking down. And I don't... Like, I've never been to the new camp and stuff like that, but... I kind of like the intimacy. I kind of like how it's kind of still small, but it gets packed and full. And yeah, it's one of them where we need to preserve, I think, the noise that we do generate, and that has been cultivated now. And you don't do that by expanding or going to a bigger stadium.
Yeah.
You do that by in small increments, like you were talking about, and then filling them with passionate fans who want to sing.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, it's one of them as well. It's a knock-on effect of how Liverpool are set up as well, is that it just wouldn't be. I just don't think the finances would be there for us to go and buy a new stadium. But you know, I was a staunch supporter. Has it been 4 years since we did Boston? Christ, you know, I was there, and I went to Fenway and watched Liverpool play Roma there. And the game was crap, but
yeah.
And it's not a football stadium, but I got to spend some time in and around it. We had basically access all areas, walking around that stadium. you get a real sense of history, you get a real sense of place. I loved being at Fenway, same way at New Camp's got a similar thing, at the Stadio Olimpico for Rome. Like, some of these are not necessarily great stadiums. Like, the New Camp's not a great actual facility-wise, not a great stadium anymore. They're obviously the building on it and what have you. But I hear all these other problems. Like, I heard something about like Chelsea's. So Chelsea redeveloping Stamford Bridge, but the stuff they're trying to do, that there's going to be issues with that. I heard someone actually told me about Everton's plans for Bramley Moor. They're all creaming the pants over it, but I've heard people who are very technical in the know-how saying that some of the stuff they've put forward is not feasible, and they don't realise it's not going to be feasible until they start building. There's so many other issues that go around with it. Anfield is too special to me that if you can make it work, I would always look to make Anfield work for it.
And if you're looking at money and expenses, I'd rather they did a training complex to make the team better than spend it on... Look, you need to make the fans' experience really good, and they're doing that. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to make the team better by doing what Jurgen Klopp wants and building this massive facility, do that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's interesting stuff. I don't know how much I can talk about it because it was told to me in confidence, but the stuff being done around the pitch and stuff, there's loads of marginal gains being put into Anfield. Mm. Yeah. It's like the next level of stuff because there's only so much you can do with your squad, but there's so many marginal gains that are being wrung out of it because we know the insides and outs of Anfield that are very, very encouraging stuff for the future. But yeah, let us know your thoughts, actually. You know, if you're totally for a new stadium. I want to know, actually, you know, if you are dead set on Liverpool leaving Anfield and getting a new custom-built stadium, whatever, this is going to sound a bit weird, but I kind of would like to know. I want to get a clearer idea of who you are and where you're from and what kind of what your background is and what age. This is not profiling per se, but no, I'm interested to know because if there's local lads who are bang up for it, I don't know any people from Liverpool who are desperate for us to leave Anfield. I'm interested to know whether there's a particular type of Liverpool fan who have no emotional attachment to the ground, and because that could be a good thing. You know, maybe we are a bit too emotional sometimes. If you could say there's an 80,000 capacity brand new stadium, it means Liverpool's revenues go up, it means the ticket prices could maybe come down and blah, 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 then maybe my blinkered local vision is actually something that would hold the club back. Let us know in the comments. Lastly then, Tom, Kevin_W_Crowley says, World Cup best bets and predictions. Who do you think are going to be the two teams contesting the World Cup final?
So, it's going to be Brazil and Germany for me. Okay. I didn't think about Brazil too much, and then I watched them the other day because I've been watching Firmino highlights because I want to see how he's playing. And they look sensational. Yeah. I know they're not playing the best teams in the world yet, but they look unreal. And I think Germany as well are just going to be a force, an absolute force. But I'm not really going to watch them. I'm going to be watching Egypt because I want Mo Salah to do well. I'm going to be watching just the lower down teams. And I always want an underdog story. I always want people to come through and get through there. So obviously England getting to the semis. but the big thing for me is with the World Cup, I don't really support a team. I know obviously I should support England, but I just watch the World Cup to watch good footy because the best players in the world are playing in this competition.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly that. And I'm fascinated to watch the Germans. I've got a few things coming up in my life which I've not really correlated to the fixture, so I don't know what I can and can't watch as yet. But I want to watch Germany just because I want, and Brazil, because they're the same as you, I've got them as my finalists. Yeah. So in my head, they're the two best teams in world football. So there'd be so much to be learned and enjoyed about watching those teams play. Absolutely. And, we've just done an England prediction and a World Cup prediction. The World Cup prediction's going out later today on the Ball Street channel by a social club. I would highly recommend going over to that channel actually and watching both those vids because they're really good. But yeah, I had England to get knocked out by Germany in the quarters, which would be great.
Yeah.
Great fun.
I really want to see what France can do.
Yeah, they're another really one do. Is that France have always been mental in tournaments. Like going back to like France 98, obviously they went and won it. They had, for the forward talent they had in that team, they couldn't get anyone to score any goals along the way, and they got themselves there and they lifted. And they either go one or two ways. They're either they burn brightly or they completely collapse in on themselves. Yeah. Spain, I think people forget as well, because a lot of people have grown up now with a generation of Spain being the best thing, the best thing since sliced bread. prior to that, every major tournament used to come out and you'd go, this will be the year that Spain do it, and you'd list off the great players they had, and then they just totally fall apart. I mean, World Cup 94, I think I had them as my pick,
yeah.
And I was only nine, what did I know? But, you know, Spain are another one where they could actually, you know, they've still got that, they've still got a few of those lads who've been there and done it all.
Yeah.
You've still got your Busquets and your David Silvers, etc. Exactly, yeah. Iniesta's last hurrah. But just as equally, the fact that they've not quite got, you know, Diego Costa's not quite the player he once was. They haven't really got that. They haven't got a Villa or a Torres this time around.
Exactly.
Or, you know, again, Silva and Iniesta are the wrong side of their careers. You know, you just don't know what's going to go on with them.
The other one's Belgium. I really want to see if they can do what everyone's expecting.
And then you remember Roberto Martinez as the manager.
Yeah. I mean, I know, but that squad is so good.
It's so good.
And that's the same with the France thing, is you just want to see if they can live up to expectations. They're being lauded as these great players, but they've never been able to, like, click. And it's another one. I just want to see, like, Uruguay. I want Suarez to be on fire as well. I want Portugal to go out as soon as possible.
I really want Mo Salah to be fine. That Egypt-Uruguay game, I'm looking forward to seeing that, because I would really like to see Mo Salah dominate that game and Suarez not.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that I can get a real sense, a real boost of, well, this is the guy who's gone, and I can kind of put Suarez to rest a little bit and continue with me Mo Salah loving.
I mean, Suarez will definitely dominate that game, I'm sure of it.
And he will do anything to get him, if opposite end of the pitch, he'll get in Mo Salah's face as much as he possibly can.
He'll
play left back.
He would probably be tracking back there. He's that kind of man. But yeah, I watched the goal that he scored against England, and then everyone hated him even more. That goal's such a good goal. That's the big thing, is I never got to watch many of these players. Obviously, with the European run, we got to see a lot more of them. But, I mean, you're watching Neymar for Brazil, and you're like, wow. And you're going to be able to see loads of him, and some of, like, some...
So I was like seven when Italia 90 was on, and my dad coming in from school and my dad sitting down and going, right, this is Diego Maradona, number 10, just watch him.
Yeah.
I think my dad had high hopes for me being left-footed. to be fair, I was probably taller than Maradona at that time as well. But that's the beauty of it, is that you get to see these guys. And I think it's disappointed in recent tournaments. I think the lads that have meant to take the tournament by storm haven't quite done it. The last time around, that Brazil side put far too much pressure on Neymar. That Brazil team was terrible. Was. And they basically just said, Neymar, you're the guy. Brazil were very like Portugal were in the Euros, in that when you've got your one go-to guy. They were another one of those teams. Wales were like it with Bale at the Euros as well. Get everything to this guy, whereas you look at that Brazil team now and they've just got
it's a wealth of talent, quality.
You're
watching Jesus come off and Bobby Firmino's coming on, and these are two world-class players, or Jesus is going to be, and you can talk, Firmino's world-class in my eyes. That's the exciting part, is you're watching. And the best thing about Brazil for me is it's so free-flowing. It's all like one touch. It's going back to the, like... Brazil's always been one touch and really nice football, but they've never had like the muscle, I don't think.
Yeah.
And now you're watching like players like Firmino in there, obviously, who doesn't mind getting stuck in. And I don't really care about the World Cup. I'm just gonna watch it as a fan of football, and that's why I'm gonna enjoy it.
Yeah, buzzing for it, absolutely buzzing for it. And obviously, we'll be keeping you updated with the Liverpool players. But if you want to know, Ben Kelly, the man with Trent Alexander-Arnold's shirt, has just recorded his Liverpool World Cup preview. So it's a comprehensive video on, as a Liverpool fan, how you get involved with the World Cup. So we talk about all the Liverpool, the actual current Liverpool players that have gone, any former Liverpool players, any interesting matches that, again, all from a Liverpool-centric perspective. So, as I say, if you like us and you put Liverpool first, but you want to find what your in is for the World Cup, then do watch that show. That's going to be on the RedmenTV.com. Another brilliant reason to sign up, and a wonderful piece of content, the game by Ben Kelly. Not just a media sensation, he's also nailing it in terms of content as well. Brilliant, Tom, thank you very much. Once more, I shout, get over to redmentv.com. Brilliant stuff going on, and it's not just to go over there and do it to support. If you want to go over there and you want to support the channel, please do, because as always, the people who do subscribe to the website, they help make the free stuff possible. But, you know, we're not just asking it for nothing. There's loads of amazing stuff. So if you need to fill your days, fill your times, whether that's with podcast or with video or with amazing written content, we've got you covered. Go to theredmentv.com, start your free month trial. And until then, walk on.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.